card. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning. Glad I can say we live because He lives. Amen. This morning's Easter morning, day on our calendar that we celebrate the resurrection. I'm glad every day I can remember the resurrection, but it's good to have a day, Aaron, I guess, and to remind us. I'm glad He got up out of the tomb, ain't you? Amen. For our justification, the Bible says. And, I preached over at the Yakin House this morning, a little Easter morning service, and I told those people, I said, I'm thankful, I said, because I know because He defeated death, I'm going to live as long as God lives. I said, so if you can figure out how long that is, that's how long I'm going to live, brother. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Brother Aaron, if you take us to the Lord in prayer for, I try to say something from the Word of God.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you here this morning. Lord, we ask you for your help.
Yes, Lord.
Preach service in Sunday school. Now, Lord, we pray that you would help the teachers. You would give them something that would be a help to us, Lord. We pray that you would help those sick, hurt, that couldn't be here this morning. They might return, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Well, we'll go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I want to read verses 5 through 7 and try to give you what the Lord showed me in looking at these verses this week. The Bible says the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. What we have here is three verses that gives us a contrast. A contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And I think each verse brings out a certain aspect of that contrast. And that's what I want to try to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning, is that contrast. Verse 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And I think here we see the contrast in their desires. Amen. They have different desires. It says the thoughts, when it's talking about the righteous there, and it says in the councils. Well, the council's usually more than one person. And usually that's the way the world is. I'm reminded in Psalm 2, where God says that the kings of the world and all that, and the world, you know, comes together in council against God and His anointed. To try to break those bonds there that they have on them. What bonds? The demand of God that they come to God and be and live right and live for Him. Amen. That there is a law. There's a law of God that they're to live by that defines what's right and wrong. That's one thing's wrong with a lot of things in our country today. We got a lot of people wants to try to say, well, I can define for myself what's right and wrong. No, you can't. The Word of God is what defines right and wrong. It's what God says. Don't matter what I say, Brother Todd, don't matter I agree with it or not. It's just a matter of am I going to obey it or not. Amen? But that counsel, but I find it interesting here where it talks about the righteous says the thoughts of the righteous. Almost as though that could be not just considered righteous as a group, but each individual righteous person is an individual, Brother Key, trying to make a point here. We're not to listen to the crowd, in other words. That's what I've done talking about, what the world goes by. They come together. Amen. And if you notice, the world usually says, well, I think we'll do it this way. And then another say, well, I think we'll do it that way. And they say, no, I think this would be a better idea. And they have to come together and compromise and all that bunch of stuff to try to come to an agreement. And then usually they still just fuss and fight and never really get much of anything accomplished other than something wicked. Sort of sound like Congress, don't it?
Amen.
Amen. But it says the thoughts of the righteous. Each one of us, Brother Keith, we're to listen for a singular voice. Amen. There's no counsel when it comes to how we're to live for the Lord. God commands how we're to live for Him. God commands us. God directs the church through the Lord Jesus Christ is what the church is supposed to do. He did not give us liberty, Brother Joe, to just sort of, as you say, wing it. Amen, and do what we think would be a good idea. You see that in a lot of churches nowadays. They'll forsake what the Word of God says as far as what the church ought to be doing, and they're doing everything but what God says. They're not listening to that singular voice. Their thoughts ain't right. They're acting more like the world in council. Amen. That's why you got all these church associations. Amen. Roman Catholic Church is bad about that. All the traditions instead of the Word of God. The world always, the devil, whatever the devil is controlling, wherever he's driving the car, so to say, Brother Keith, you'll always find that where there's the crowd and everybody's ideas has got to be considered, and all this. And all it really does is lead you away from that singular voice from heaven, that singular voice of the Word of God. That's what it does. It just leads you astray. And I ain't trying to be ugly this morning, but fully on what the world says, I'm going to go with God. Amen. Amen. And if I don't, I'm wrong. And anybody else that doesn't is wrong. Amen. And I certainly don't want to be found in rebellion against God, Brother Keith. That's not a good place to be. I like Brother Hyde. A lot of times he preaches on being in your place. Amen. Well, you're not in your place as a child of God if you're pulling and straining and struggling against the will of God. Amen. You're putting yourself outside the will of God, and you're putting yourself in a place, setting yourself up, so to say, for chastisement and judgment is what you're doing. Amen. So we should be hearing the singular voice. That's where our thoughts should be this morning, is on the Word of God and on the will of God. And that's where you'll find the will of God's in His Word. Amen. So that singular voice, it says the thought, and it is right. It says the thoughts of the righteous are right. Why are they right? Because they're going by what God said, Brother Todd. That's what makes it right. I mentioned this up at the jail this week. Some of the guys sort of got a little kick out of it. A couple of them giggled, but it's the truth. I told them I've often seen these bumper stickers, says God said it and I believe it and that settles it. That ain't right. It don't matter I believe it or not. God says it, that settles it. That's the end of it. I don't believe it, I'm just wrong. I'm out of the will of God. Amen. But it's right because they're following the ways of righteousness. Amen. We are robed with the righteousness of Christ, Brother Aaron. Amen. He's imparted His righteousness to us. Amen. The Bible tells us He became sin that we might be righteous in Him. Amen. And when we're right with Him, Brother Keith, when a man or a woman's saved, and when they're trying to go by the Word of God and they're finding the mind of God, they'll be right. Amen. Because they're following God. Amen. Bible tells us those are led by the Spirit of the children of God anyway. You're not led by the Spirit of God. You're not His child. That's pretty simple, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. But it says, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And that's the way it is. They're always trying to deceive somebody. Always trying to trick somebody. That's sort of like them con artists, Miss Camille. How they get over and try to get you money or whatever they're after. They'll tell you something other than what's the truth. Amen. The account, where do you reckon that come from? They learn it from somebody else. Amen. From those councils of other wicked people. That's where they learn it from, Brother Keith. Is that right? I mean, I've often heard that a lot of times when men go and spend time in prison, sometimes they come out worse than they were. Why? They go in there and they learn how to be a better thief or a better crook. Because they go in there and they learn from them guys. And I guarantee you they probably sit around in there a lot of times and connive and scheme on how, when they get out, how they're going to get by with it next time. The counsels of the wicked are deceit. Amen. Always trying to deceive somebody. Always trying to get by. I want to tell you this morning, church, you'll not get by with God. You can't deceive God. Amen. You can't fool Him. He knows your heart. He sees everything you do. He knows every thought you have. He hears every word you speak. Brother Keith, you'll not get by with God. But the counsels of the wicked are deceit. But there's contrast there in their desires. Verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. We've already talked about the contrast in their desires. This verse, I believe, highlights the contrast in their deeds. Amen? In their deeds. It says, the wicked, they lie in wait for blood. And that's exactly what they do. The devil is in control of them. Amen? And we know from the scriptures that he is a murderer and a thief and a liar. He's been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Amen? That's what he come to do. And so certainly that's what he's trying to do through that crowd he's got control of. They're lying in wait for blood. For your very life. Amen. That's what these false prophets is trying to do. These false teachers, Brother Dennis. They're lying in wait for our for the blood of sinners. They're looking how they can delay them or move them away from the gospel. Amen. Away from the only hope they've really got to have life. Is that right? Lying in wait for their blood. Why? To kill them spiritually. With deceit, just like the verse before said. Is that right, Brother Keith? They're not. The devil ain't looking just to... I'm going to tell you what. A lot of times, the devil will give his crowd, lost folks, things of this world that will make them happy. Make them feel content. Make them feel like they're prospered. And they'll never think about God unless, of course, God Almighty moves on them. Amen? They're deceived. Amen? But all they're doing is walking down a path leading to a trap to fall into that's going to take their life, that's going to be laid there for their blood. Is that right? It's going to bring them the second death, eternal damnation in hell. Why? Because they never considered God. They never considered the gospel. They never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But they trusted in themselves and what the world could give them. Amen. We're looking at the contrast of their deeds. So they lie in wait for blood. I mean, blood is the life. Is that right? Amen. They're looking to destroy their life. And I really believe that's not your physical life. I mean, the devil's after your spiritual life. Amen. He's wanting to kill you spiritually forever by leading you astray. Amen. Let me tell you this morning, there's only one way. Amen. There's only one way to God. You go back to the verse before this and talk about the counsel of the wicked, that's what they say. Oh, there's many ways to God. No, there ain't. There's one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only mediator between God and men. He's the only Savior. He's the only hope of this world beyond this life. That's right. But the counsel of the wicked will tell you, oh, there's more than one way to God. Just worship or believe what you want to believe, and as long as your intentions is good, you know. I got news for you. I don't care who tell you otherwise. You'll come by the way of the cross, or you won't make it.
Amen.
Amen. You'll come through the gospel, amen, or you won't make it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. All. There ain't no other way. No matter what the world tells us. It says, but the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Amen. I think about, as I read that, I think about the mouth of the Lord when he comes that day, brother, with that sword, that two-edged sword, and he's going to destroy this crowd. Amen. I think about the mouth. Amen. The mouth. You think about that. It's talked about the words of the wicked was the lion wait for blood. The mouth, though. The mouth, it says. Amen. Of the upright shall deliver them. What should be coming from our mouth? The truth. The testimony of Christ. The gospel. That's what will deliver a lost sinner. Amen. Words of right judgment. Amen. Words of good advice, even in things of the world, Brother Keith. Words of good instruction will deliver our children when we give them good instruction. If they'll heed to it, it will deliver them from a lot of problems and a lot of trouble in this world. Is that right? The words of the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Amen. Why is it an upright mouth? Because it speaks the things of God. Amen. You wouldn't give your children or your grandchildren instruction this morning that didn't come from the Word of God, would you? Certainly wouldn't give them instruction that's contrary to the Word of God. You want to have a mouth of uprightness, of righteousness, of truth. That's what will deliver people. Amen. In this life and beyond. Amen. God says in His Word of God, it pleased Him by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Amen. God calls men to stand and with an upright mouth preach the gospel and declare the glories of the cross that sinners can be saved. Amen. The contrast of their deeds. What's our deeds this morning? What's our desires of our heart? Are they right and righteous and upright that leads us to good deeds? Is that where we're at this morning? Amen. Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Well, we looked at the contrast of their desires and the contrast of their desires. Verse 7, and the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. We see here the contrast of their destiny. Amen. Every human being, when they leave this world, is going to wind up somewhere. You're not going to cease to exist. You're not just going to poof and not be existing anymore. Amen. I was preaching this morning, and a man that was there, he asked me when I got through, he says, do you really believe in an afterlife? The man's not saved. And I said, yes. He said, so you really believe we go somewhere? I said, absolutely. I said, the Word of God teaches that a man's either going to go straight to hell or he's going to go straight to the presence of the Lord when he takes his last breath. And there is no in between. There is no purgatory. There is no just poof, I don't exist no more. You're going to exist somewhere forever. The question is, are you going to exist in torment and hell, or are you going to live in the presence of the Lord for all eternity? That's the only question. Amen. The contrast of their destiny. It says the wicked are overthrown. God is going to overthrow them, Brother Todd, one day. Amen. He overthrows wickedness in this life sometimes. We see that. I'm reminded of the nation of Israel when they fell off into idolatry and they had turned their back on God and would not turn back to God and repent of their backslidings. And He brought wicked nations in this world down upon them and took them into captivity. And He overthrew them. You could say that. He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, Brother Aaron, for their wickedness. God is a God of love. We hear that all the time. Yes, He is. He's a God of mercy. Yes, He is. But He's also a God of judgment.
He sure is. Amen.
He is. Amen. That's one of the characteristics of God. Why is He a God of judgment? Why? Because He's holy and He's righteous. Amen. And he will not and cannot tolerate sin in his presence. Is that right? Is that what the Word of God teaches? He must judge sin. For one reason, why? Because he said he would, and he's not a liar, Brother Keith. The wicked will be overthrown. Maybe in this life, maybe at the judgment, but they will not prosper forever, Brother Aaron. They will not. They'll be overthrown. They'll be overthrown. I don't remember right off the top of my head who it was. It might have been Brother Milby. I don't remember. But I remember hearing a man preach one time, and he said, if we knew how many times every day when we was going down the road in a car and there was a drunk coming at us the other way in the other lane and he didn't cross the line and hit us, it'd scare us to death. He overthrows the plans and the deceits of the devil and of the wicked people that's under his control. We see a lot of wickedness going on in this world, Brother Shirley. But if we knew how many times every day that God reaches down from heaven and puts his hand out there and stops something from happening, it'd probably amaze us. He's still God. He's on the throne. Amen. And he will not be defeated by the devil or the wicked people of this world or nothing else. Amen. He's God. And you'll not overthrow God. You might be sitting here this morning, you might know someone, it might be you, I don't know. You might think, well, I'll show God, I'll do what I want to do in this life. God won't do nothing to me, I beg to differ. There'll be a judgment day to come, and you and your wickedness will be overthrown and anybody else living in it. Amen. You'll stand at that white throne judgment one of these days. And you'll be overthrown. Your ambitions, your desires, what you want, what you think, all will be of no value to you. Mean nothing. Is that right, Brother Keith? I had a fella up at the jail when I was preaching up there Thursday. And I ain't going to mention his name, but I'll just tell you he's in there for murder. And while I was preaching, he kept raising his hand, interrupting me, and then he'd open his Bible. He had a Bible, Brother Keith. And he would keep reading passages to me talking about God's love and mercy. And it dawned on me after he'd done it about three times that this fellow knows he's in trouble. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to convince himself that God ain't going to judge him. And he's got it in his head, well, God ain't going to judge me because he's a God of mercy. So the world shouldn't judge me for what I've done. And I sort of called on. I mean, I feel like God sort of gave me a little insight what was going on in his head. And so I asked him to open it up to another certain passage concerning eternal life and the blessings of God being in heaven one day. And I let him read it. I let him read about four verses. I said, now stop. I said, now I want to ask you a question, son. Who's that written to? He said, what do you mean? I said, specifically, who was that written to? Who was that epistle written to? He said, that church there. I said, right. Who's the church? He must have been in church as a child. He's got some understanding and knowledge. He said, well, that's saved people. I said, that's right. I said, and if you've never been born again, that promise is as worthless to you as dirt laying on the ground. That promise is not to you, young man. You'll be overthrown in your folly, young man, unless you come to Christ and you're born again. That promise is worthless to you. That's to a child of God. Is that right? God will overthrow the wicked. He says, but the house of the righteous, and that's God's family, that's God's people, that's the church, shall stand. We shall stand, Brother Todd. Amen. Not because of us, Brother Todd, but because of God. Because of His grace. Because of His mercy and His kindness to us. We've got eternal life to look forward to. We've got His blessings and His kindness to rest upon in tough times here and now. We've got His truth to guide us and direct us in life. Is that right, church? Why? Because we're His. Because we're His. We shall stand. Amen. I'm glad I'm of the household of God this morning. Aren't you? No greater thing have I ever known in this life. No greater thing's ever happened to me. Nothing else even compares, Brother Aaron. Nothing. Nothing. I love my family. I love my children, my grandchildren. Amen. But, and I'm not belittling that, but that's nothing compared to Christ. Nothing. It's not even in the same universe.
No, it's not.
If I had all the money in the world this morning, nothing compared to Christ, Brother Joe. Is that right?
Amen.
Nothing. And I'll stand because I'm of the household of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. That means, Brother Joe, as long as we're in the will of God and serving God according to His will,
Amen.
God's going to bless it and He's going to bring fruit from it. You know, me and you was talking on the phone yet last night. We was talking about the jail ministry. And me and Brother Joe agreed with one another. No doubt. Until we get home to be with the Lord one day, we'll have no idea what God's maybe done through that. Done through the radio work from this church. Done through the internet work. We'll never know all the fruit God's brought forth from us inviting people to church.
Amen.
For witnessing to our neighbors. For loving people the way Christ loved us. We'll never know till we get there the fruit, Brother Keith, that's come from us just being obedient to Him. Is that right? A household of God. We'll stand. And it says, going back, and I'll close with this, it says the wicked are overthrown and they are not. I sometimes get interested. Sometimes it catches my eye, little phrases like that, and they are not. I got to thinking this morning before I left the house, Brother Todd. I mean, they are not. They are not what? Well, for one thing, they are not saved. They are not under God's good blessings. Amen. They are not a place of peace and safety. We say a lot of things about the wicked, and they are not. One day we'll look around and we'll say, and they are not in heaven. And I had a fellow recently that asked me, he said, do you think when we get to heaven that we'll say, like, we'll recognize our mother as our mother as she was here on earth and all that? And I said, I don't know. I said, we'll all be brothers and sisters in Christ up there. I said, I really don't know. Once He wipes them tears away in our memory of bad things, I don't know how much of this world and this life we'll actually remember. I said, but here's my question for you, young man. This was up at the jail. I said, here's my question for you. Are you going to be there to recognize anybody? Or you are not going to be in heaven? How about your loved ones this morning? Every one of us, I guarantee, has got loved ones we know in our hearts not saved. Not saved. And I'm just giving you my heart this morning, church. It burdens me. It burdens me, Brother Keith. People in this world I love, I don't know. I don't have no witness. I don't have no faith. They know God. And it terrifies me. I'm scared for them. I'm scared for them. Because one day they are not. They are not. What they are going to be is in hell. If they don't come to Christ and repent of their sin. How about y'all this morning? Say, it's Easter Sunday, and we're sitting here this morning, and we're celebrating the resurrection of our dear Lord. And we know that we live because He lives. And every one of us has loved ones. We know if the Lord would come right now in the next 5 seconds, they'd be left behind. And And I know you care. I'm not trying to say you're not. I'm not trying to pull on your emotions or do anything like that in the flesh. But I'm just trying to remind, I'm reminding me this morning that we really have the burden that we're to have. There's a contrast. We've looked at it. There's a contrast of their desires, of their deeds, and of their destiny. And I can't help but get it out of my mind this morning, that destiny. Where's their destiny going to be? Where's yours this morning? The Bible says, examine your own self. Make sure you're in faith. Where do you stand this morning? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? If I had any doubt, I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't let pride or anything else this morning keep me from getting together somewhere with the Lord and making sure. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with checking up. A lot of people, they get all defensive when you talk like that. There ain't nothing wrong with checking up. There ain't nothing wrong with bowing your head and saying, Lord, am I really yours? I mean, am I really yours for sure? God will give you peace if you are. Amen. So, there's a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. I'm glad I'm among the righteous this morning, and I'm glad I can testify it's because of what He's done for me. It ain't got nothing to do with me, Brother Keith. Ain't nothing I've earned or deserved. It's nothing I've accomplished. It's because of His good grace and mercy. And boy, I'm thankful I can stand before you and share that testimony this morning. Amen. That contrast. Brother Keith, if you'd close us in prayer, I appreciate it.
Thank you for the good day. Opportunity to be in the house of God, hear the Word of God. We thank you for your grace and mercy upon sinners. God, for our life, God, you've been good to us, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, and most only in the cross, we, God, lean not to our own understanding, bring
yes,
nothing
Lord,
before you. Except, Lord, your sacrifice, God, what you've done to us. Help us, God, I pray, establish our thoughts. Help our mind, God, our meditation to be upon you, God, to meditate upon the Word
yes.
of God. Read, hear, God, the voice of God. I pray to be led of that and guided by it. Help us that we might find peace with you, Lord, this morning, God, and the peace of God, Lord, as God be led of the Spirit of God, Lord.
Yes.
And always thank God that, God, if we can, God, find the peace of God, we can walk in the blessing of God, walk in rest, God, no matter
yes,
what man, the world says. God, you said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And God, I pray it help us, God, to know and God, seek out and know and follow the voice and the will of God. Thank you for the Word of God. Help Brother Danny, God. I thank you, God, for helping and touching. God, I pray it, God, God, melt this Word, God, in our heart. God, help us, God, to heat it and give us grace. God, I pray it touch the 11 o'clock service, God.
Yes, Lord.
God, touch hearts and send it, God. Help the man of God, I pray. God, to express God's will of God. He spoke to his heart this day, God. May the Holy Ghost, God, guide and direct him. Help us to be obedient. God, I pray, give us liberty to worship you, Lord, this morning, for you're worthy alone. You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your liberty.